The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a happy Easter to all of you. And we trust that you will enjoy this Easter weekend with your family and friends and have a good time celebrating the presence of our risen Lord. Our board met last Wednesday and they felt that we ought to, for Easter Sunday, we ought to find the best preacher in town to bring the word for us. And so they called him, and he said that he couldn't make it. And then they said, well, if we can't find the best preacher in town, we might as well find the best dressed preacher. And they called him, and he said he couldn't make it. And so, well, if we can't find the best dressed, well, we might as well find the most handsome one. And they called him, and he said he couldn't make it. So Bobby decided, he said, well, if we can't get none of those other three guys, we might as well call our preacher. So they called me, but so what could I say? I said no to them three times already, so. So here we are. Who says you can't have fun in church? Even on Easter Sunday morning. We are Christians, my friends. We're celebrating the life of a risen Savior. And so we want to encourage you to do that as believers. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, and the 19th to the 23rd verse. And we will read in concert. John chapter 20, the 19th to the 23rd verses. All right. When you find it, say amen. All right. If you're still looking, so wait for me. All right, we're good. Let's read God's word in concert together. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the door locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative the word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. I do want to preach this morning from the subject, "I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord." Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord." Now, if you're sitting beside somebody that won't talk to you, just tell them again, "So, neighbor, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise the Lord." All right? All right. And if you're sitting beside somebody who don't want to praise the Lord, just move up a pew or two. All right? Let the praises go up. All right. Jesus said to, last week we talked about it. Jesus says the Pharisees told Jesus, "Why is this disciple making all this noise on Palm Sunday?" And Jesus says, "If these disciples don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out." So even Jesus wants some praise. All right. And I think it's sad when we come to church and we can yell and holler at a hockey game and a football game, Well, we too cute in church to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. If Jesus woke you up this morning in your right mind, you ought to shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. If he keeps sustaining you from day to day, you ought to praise his name. If he keeps giving you strength and new mercies morning by morning, you ought to give him some praise. Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Man, I don't know what you come to do, but I came to praise the Lord. And the reason I came to praise him, and I make no apologies for this, is that Muhammad was born and he died and he's still dead. And Hare Krishna God was born and he died and he's still dead. And all the other gods were born and died and they still dead. But I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. No apologies. In our text this morning, we've just read in John chapter 19, chapter 20, verses 19. And I think we want to pause there for just a little bit. And when we look at the text, Jesus had been risen from the dead. And when he encountered his disciples, he said, in these three passages of scriptures, just four simple things to them that I want to point out to you today. We're going to go over them there in your bulletin, but just in these few passages, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them, and the first thing he said to his disciples is, peace be with you. Then he goes on to show them the evidence that his hands were nailed, and they saw the scars. They saw the hole in his hands. Then after that, he sends them. He says, now as the Father has sent I am now sending you. And so the disciples now were to pick up where Jesus left off. But before he sent them out, he breathed upon them his Holy Spirit, because the disciples cannot do God's work without God's power. And so on this resurrection morning, I want to point out and just talk to you from the subject. I don't know what you come to do, but I've come to praise the Lord, because there are four simple things in this passage of Scripture that I believe we as believers need to give attention to this morning. We can shout, which we ought to do. We can get happy, which we ought to do. We can celebrate. But if we're not doing the things that the Lord asks us to do, then we're missing the mark. And so I want to challenge you on this Resurrection Sunday morning to do some things. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I came to praise the Lord. In our text, we just read that these disciples, whom had spent 3.5 years with Jesus, are locked into a house behind closed doors because of fear. Now stop and think with me for a little bit. They spent 3.5 years with Jesus. Jesus had told them time and time again that the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must be killed. He must be crucified. He would be buried. But on the third day, he'll rise again. The disciples locked themselves in a house as though they don't know or seem to have forgotten that Jesus had told them that he will get up from the grave. I don't know if sometimes we tend to forget what God has said to us, or we choose not to remember. But the Lord has said some things to us that we ought to remember. And the disciples allowed everything that Jesus had said to them to cloud their minds and their hearts and their lives with fear. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of those who could kill the body, but not the soul. They were afraid of the religious people, and religious folks can be scary at times. They were afraid of men. They were afraid of the flesh. And to this fact, they secured themselves behind closed doors. They had placed their security in a wooden structure or bricks and mortar or whatever the construction of the house was. They had placed themselves within the confines of that security. They had placed their securities in materials made by the hands of men. They had placed their security in the physical and not the spiritual. And we've got people today that are placing their sense of security in everything that they can touch, see, and feel, and all of the material things. But all of those things can one day fail you. They had placed their security in structure that really could not protect them. Now, stay with me for just a little while, and this is how my brains work sometimes. Can you imagine the 11 disciples, because Judas is gone? They're in a room, doors and windows locked. There is no electricity where they're staying. They've got lamps for oil lamps, and in their midst, without any door or window being open, somebody comes in and is talking to them. Now, I know one thing, theologically correct. These were not Caribbean disciples. I can tell you that much. If they were sitting in a secured house and somebody came in that did not use a door or window, did not come through the roof or the floor, and was standing talking to them, I want to tell you something. Lucien Bolt would have nothing on these brothers. Lucien Bolt, okay? He'd be gone. All right? They'd be gone. So we know these folks are not from the Caribbean, at least not from Guyana anyway. I don't know about you, but that would be something that would be pretty scary to see. Sometimes we read the text and we just glide over these things and we don't stop to think what it's doing to the disciples at the time. But the text goes on to tell us that when Jesus saw them and he recognized that, number one, they were living in fear, the first words he spoke to them was peace. And I came by this morning to tell you that regardless of whatever stage of life you're in, that the peace of God was not limited only to the disciples, but that peace is for all of us today. And if you look around our world, you can see a lot of people that are not in peace today. We've got a lot of families that can't find their relatives from an aircraft that went down over a month ago and they can't figure out what happened to it. Families living in turmoil, a ship capsized with over 450 people and half of them are rescued, the rest are presumed dead. People can't find peace. We read, my wife has said me if I heard the story about some guy who cut off his genitals and jumped out of a two-story window. People living without peace in the world today. And here we are with the peace and the presence of God, and we'll shout hallelujah. I won't tell anybody about the peace that passes all understanding. There are so many people in the world today who would love to have the peace of God in their lives. But you and I are the ones that are required to pass that peace on. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." Both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, peace means order, harmony, spiritual well-being. This is what Jesus came to give each and every one of us: order, spiritual well-being, and harmony. And many today do not have order, harmony, nor spiritual well-being in their lives. People are afraid of car crashes and afraid of having cancer, and they're afraid of not having enough money for retirement and not having to worry about food poisoning, and they're afraid of Alzheimer's and pesticides in their food, and they're afraid of being victimized by violence. They're afraid of unable to pay their bills, and they're afraid of exposure to viruses and AIDS and all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. But I believe God has a message for us this morning. And for those of you who live consistently in fear of failure and fear of death and fear of so many things, as the list goes on, Jesus places his peace in our lives, and that peace removes all fear. Jesus enters into a room and he gives them the only thing that can take away fear, and that is peace. I don't know what you came to do on this resurrection morning, but I came to praise the Lord, for there is a peace for us to enjoy. There is a peace for us to enjoy despite the circumstances that we find ourselves in. There is a peace to be enjoyed despite our situation. There is a peace to be enjoyed despite of the disappointments that we run into. There is a peace to be enjoyed regardless of our many and various frustrations. I have peace because I know that it is well with my soul. And once the disciples realized that Jesus was in their presence, they went from fear to rejoicing. I want you to know that when Jesus is in the midst, you can't remain in fear any longer. There has to be a celebration. The text says the disciples began to rejoice. And so sometimes I got to wonder, some people say they have the joy of the Lord in them, but sometimes I think they've got to tell that to their face or something. Because if the Lord is really in you, and if you're in his presence, there ought to be some external manifestation that you have the peace of God. Because the disciples rejoice when they experience the presence of God. When Jesus is around, he changes your environment. When Jesus is around, he has to change your attitude. When Jesus is around, he has to transform your mindset. When Jesus is around, the situation and the circumstances have to change. It cannot be the same like it was, because Jesus brings a peace that nothing else or no one else can give us. There is a peace to be enjoyed on this resurrection morning. We notice in our text as well that Jesus not only gave them a peace that will settle them down, give them an assurance, but he says, here are the nail prints in my hands. And he showed them his hands, but not only his hands, he showed them his side. You know, it's one thing to believe because somebody told you to believe. But it's another thing to believe when you've experienced for yourself. I'm not telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. And so when Jesus showed the disciples his hands, and when he showed them his side, there was a proof now to believe that Jesus is who he said he really is. The disciples saw an empty tomb. The disciples saw the strips of linen that once bound him. The disciples saw the burial cloth. The disciples saw the nails in his hands, and they saw the holes in his, the nail prints in his hands and the holes in his side. And it seemed to satisfy them to the point of becoming overjoyed, which is good. But I want you to know, sometimes you've got to witness the things that once held you captive. And so when they went not to the tomb originally, before we get to this point, they saw what once held Jesus. That should have been enough to tell them that he is no longer in the grave. But obviously it wasn't, because now he has given them even more evidence to the fact, not only is he no longer bound by what people put on him, but he shows them the evidence that he is the risen Savior. The application for us this morning is that when you experience Jesus for yourself, you cannot remain in his presence and still be the same. And when they experience the presence of Jesus and they've had evidence of what he has done for them and that he is indeed alive, there has to be a transformation with the disciples. And so the disciples went from living in fear and living with hostility and complacency and not understanding what Jesus was talking about. Now they have the evidence to believe. The application for you this morning is this. If you've ever had an opportunity where Jesus has done something for you of the past, and you find yourself in a predicament now, you ought to have enough common sense to know if Jesus is all-powerful enough to do it over there, he ought to be the same Jesus to do it over here, and the same Jesus to do it over there as well. If he had done it once, he can do it a second time. He can do it a third time, and he can do it a fourth time. So why is it that do we frown and fret when we run into circumstances that are beyond our control? To me, the only thing we have to say is, Lord, you've done it before. I need you to do it again. I need you to take these devils in hell and chase them off my backside. I need you to declare, God, that I am who I am. And I need your supernatural impartation and your power to support that, because I want you to be glorified through me. And if you've done it once before, God, you can do it again. And so we ought to say to Jesus, Jesus, just do it again. Just do it one more time. I know you healed me once before, but you can heal me again. I know you delivered me once before, but you can deliver me again. I know you provided once before, but you can provide again. I know you heard me once before, but you can hear me again, because I know in whom I believe. There is a proof to believe. They've got the evidence. Sometimes you've got to have an experience so that you've got something to stand on. People today are talking about this MH370, whether the pilots were at fault in doing something to the aircraft and all of their sophisticated technology. And somebody on CNN said, well, if the pilots were responsible, then we have to question every pilot there is now, and now people are going to be worried about getting on an airplane, and because maybe it might go down. Now you got to worry about every captain of every ship now too, and now you got to even be worried about going to an innocent party. But here's a law student in Calgary who had no record of any criminal activity, going to come from a very good police family, stabbed five people, kill him one shot. And every time we look in our world, we see chaos and we see confusion and murdering and all these different things. And people are confused and they're looking for evidence. And you and I have an opportunity to provide some evidence and some proof for them. And you know, we're suffering the consequences of some things that we've done wrong, because now we're taking the prayers out of the school and all of these political organizations. And look what's happening in our society. There's a proof for that. We've got more education, but more ignorance is on the rise. And so there's a proof to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Not only is there proof, but we look at our verse 21 of our text, and it tells us that there is a plan to be obeyed. And the text tells us, as Jesus says in verses 20, as the Father, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Disciples were overjoyed and they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, how many of you think that the sending of the disciples was only limited for those disciples? Oh, it's quiet in here now. How many of you think that the sending of the disciples into the world was limited only to those disciples, to the 11? All right? And so I want to say to you, like Jesus sent the 11, because of their efforts, Carmen, the church has grown. That's why we have what we have today. If the 11 did not do what Jesus told them to do, we wouldn't be here today. They went out. A new hope I want to say to you on this resurrection morning, if Jesus is really our Savior, you and I need to go as He has sent us into the marketplace and preach and teach and make disciples of every nation. New Hope, I want to challenge you this morning. We live in an environment where we're so consumed of getting stuff, more stuff. There's nothing wrong with stuff. God wants you to enjoy your stuff. Enjoy it, but it cannot become your God. And when your stuff takes your attention away from the Lord Jesus Christ, then that becomes your God. And so I'm not opposed to getting stuff. Live in the best neighborhood. Drive the nicest wheels. And if you don't want to drive it, I'll drive it for you in good fashion too. You know, wear the best clothes that you can afford. And have the best health that you can give for yourself. Enjoy that. God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. And that's not over in heaven only. That's here on earth. Okay? All right? But there has to be a balance between our stuff and our Savior. And so I want to challenge you that each and every one of you should be engaged in discipleship every week. You should be engaged in speaking to people every time. Listen, can I share a quick story with you? There's a company called Marketplace Chaplains, and so they asked me, they said, Sion, we want to start up in Canada. And they chatted with Catherine and Yvonne Downey and some other people that you may know. And so we went into GE Oil and Gas in Leduc. And every Friday I would go there for about an hour or so and just walk the floor and talk to the employees. And I tell you, that's just great when management recognizes that if you can bring a pastor on site to talk to his non-believing employees so that they don't have to take sick days off to go deal with stuff, but I got the freedom to walk the floor and talk to them about anything. I mean, I was not opposed to not initiate conversations about God. But every week I would go in and I would meet with those people and I'd just talk with them. I'd keep it light, football, family, whatever, you know, and connect with the guys. But as I built relationship with them, one of them said to me, hey, I need to talk to you. So we set up some appointments and began talking with him, and we worked through all of the issues that we were working through. And then he said, you know, Sion, there's still something missing. I said, I know. I said, we can fix that right now. And in that moment, led him to the Lord just a few weeks ago to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Sometimes we've got to build a relationship with them. It used to be New Hope. It used to be years ago that you can walk down the street and you can say to somebody, have you found Jesus? The natural response would have been to engage you in conversation about Jesus. I mean, but not today. You can't do that. You have to build a relationship. I told you so many times that if you walked up to someone and said, have you found Jesus? They'd look at you and said, I didn't know he was lost, you know? And so there has to be a relation building that takes place. And so, New Hope, I want to challenge you to get ourselves out of our comfort zone and see lost people matter to Jesus. The disciples obeyed what Jesus said. As the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. And they went out and did. And you know, there's not one disciple that didn't end up losing his life for the cause of Christ. It's going to cost you. But if you really want to celebrate Easter and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you something. You cannot enjoy your Christianity in the confines of your home with all of your stuff, my friends. You got to get out of the walls. You got to get out of the walls. And I believe that if this local congregation before me was engaged in winning one person to the Lord a year, just one person to the Lord a year, where would the body of Christ be where this congregation is concerned? So you can agree with me and you can nod your head, but if you go home tomorrow and you do nothing about it, then my preaching is in vain. Jesus says, I am sending as the Father sent me, I am sending you. So, Brother Morgan, it doesn't matter what age you are. You can go into an old folks' home and you can lead them to Jesus too, because he died for them as well. People on the streets, they need Jesus as well. And so it's our responsibility. So I want to challenge you, my friends. I want to challenge you, my church family. We must be engaged in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ if we really want to celebrate Resurrection Morning. Then the other thing that we notice the text tells us, that not only was there a plan for the disciple to obey, but we also notice that there is a power to be received. And in today's day and age, we get nervous when we start talking about ghosts and the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we think it's something that's scary. But I came by to tell you that when Jesus first manifests himself to the disciples, he sent them out, but he did not send them out without the resources to make their ministry successful. New Hope, we want to see church growth, and we create all these fancy flyers and brochures and all these other things that we think that people need, and good marketing. And don't get me wrong, I have nothing against good marketing. I love good marketing. All right, I think our website is good marketing. Sometimes I think it's too good, because people keep telling me, man, the site looks really good, but when I come to the church, it's a little different. But that's okay. It's marketing. That's what it's supposed to do, right? It's supposed to bring you in. But I want to say to you that Jesus did not send out his disciples without the resources to get the job done. He didn't give them fancy brochures. He didn't give them business cards. He didn't give them no Rolls Royce, no Lexus to ride around in. They didn't have no fancy suits. What Jesus gave them was the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that makes the difference. You can have all the stuff, but if you don't have the power of God, you're not going to get nowhere with that. And I think the church today is struggling because we're trying to do church with business principles with the exclusion of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to do worship with the exclusion of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to preach with the exclusion of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to have meaningful relationships with the exclusion of the Holy Spirit. But until we get to the place where we say to ourselves, Lord, we cannot do this unless you fill us, unless your supernatural impartation resonate within us. We cannot do this, Lord, not only a one-time filling, but we need to be filled daily. It has to be a continuous filling up. The story is told of a husband and wife that was praying, and the husband was praying, Lord, you know, fill me. And the wife said, Lord, don't fill him because he leaks. And that's the whole point where we need the filling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because we leak. And sometimes because we leak, we need to be refreshed and refilled continuously. And so we see that when the Lord breathed upon them, they receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives us power to do God's work. God does not send us to do his work without his power. We cannot build an effective ministry without God's power. We cannot have significant relationships without God's power. We need the power of God working and moving in our lives. Not only does the Holy Spirit gives us power, but the Holy Spirit also gives us boldness. We read in Acts where the Bible tells them that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And these whom the Holy Spirit fell upon went out with boldness and spoke the word of God boldly. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation. There was no fear. And New Hope, I came by to tell you this morning that if we're going to do God's work, we've got to do it with God's power. And when the power of God is in you and it's working through you, there is no fear of rejection. There is no fear of man. There is no fear of the Jews. There is no fear of the Pharisees. There's no fear of those who hate God. You will just speak God's word, God's truth under God's power, and watch God do a great work for you and for his kingdom in your life. You see, the Holy Ghost gives us that internal discernment. The Holy Spirit speaks into our hearts and into our minds so that we can have clarity of thought as to know where to go. I'm even glad because the Holy Spirit lives in me that the Holy Spirit even tells you to slow down when there's photo radar ahead. Don't you love the Holy Spirit? I love it in the morning when the Spirit says slow down. You know? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. It leads you into all truth. Guides you into all truth. When God breathes his breath gives life. When Adam was first created out of dust, Adam did not become a living being until he took in the breath of God. Then Adam became a living being. And even when you think that there's no life left in you, God can still breathe on you and in you and cause you to live again. If you don't believe me, just ask old man Ezekiel. For I can see Ezekiel looking out into the valley with all of the scattered bones that have been dead. And the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones that they may live again. But when the prophecy, as he began to prophesy to the bones, the Bible tells us that there was a shaking and a rattling of all the bones that came together, bone to bone and bone on bone. Do I have a witness this morning? But it was not until Ezekiel began to prophesy to the wind that God stepped in and breathed into the bones, and they became a mighty army in the Lord. All right. That he can take dry bones and make them live again after he breathes upon them. The same way he can do it for the bones, the same way he can do it for you, and he can do it for me. Not only is the Holy Ghost the breath of God, but it's also the river of God. Have you ever noticed that wherever there is a river, you will find all kinds of green vegetation, trees, and other plants living? This is because the river nourishes. The river provides life to living things. And just like the songwriter says, that trees that are planted by the rivers of water, they shall not be moved, but they shall bring forth their fruit in the appropriate season. Am I right about it? What have I notice most about rivers and trees is that they also bear fruit. Isn't it sad to see a fruit tree planted by a river of streaming water, has all the freshness, has all the green leaves, blossoms, but never bears fruit? Something wrong with that tree. But a tree that is planted by the rivers of water shall bring forth its fruit in a season. And I want you to know that when you and I are planted by the rivers of living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, you can't help but bring forth fruit because the Holy Spirit nourishes us and produces fruit in us. But not only fruit that will last overnight, but fruit that will last for a lifetime. That's the kind of fruit God's looking for. And so we notice not only we're supposed to produce fruit and be green and active and vibrant and growing. The last thing I want to tell you about the Holy Ghost is that the Holy Ghost is also the fire of God. Just like a fire, it will melt our hearts, it will burn up our souls, and it will get you moving. Will it not get you moving in the right direction? So I want to pray it on this resurrection morning that the fire of God be lit under some of us, because some of us have gotten a little bit cold. I don't expect too many amens on that one. Some of us have lost our fire. We don't have no heat. We don't have no light. But I came by to tell you on this resurrection morning, the fire of God is still burning. And if you want the fire of God to be in you, allow him to light onto you and start you going in the right direction, burning bright and burning hot and burning forever. You know, this, I believe, is what plagues our church, is folks come in with no fire, and they expect the fire from the person next to them to keep them warm. Well, that person's fire is for that person. You ought to bring your own fire. You don't need somebody else to warm by somebody else's fire. And you know what happens when you warm by the other people's fire? Sometimes you could end up warming by the enemy's fire. When Jesus was about to be crucified, Peter found himself warming by the enemy's fire. And when the enemy recognized him and they said, aren't you one of his? He was so embarrassed that he started cussing. This is what happens when you're warmed by the wrong people's fire. You can find yourself in a different predicament. So build your own fire and keep yourself warm. Most of all, the Holy Ghost is power. Power, power, wonder, working power. It gives me power to be an effective witness for the Lord. Yes, it does. Power to hear God's voice. It's a sad state of affair when God's children can hear everything else but can't hear God's voice. You need the power of God. Power to love like God loves. It's a sad case when people say they love God, but they despise their brother and their sister, especially those of another color. I ain't expecting too many amens on that one. But if we love God, then we ought to love people with his power. Power to believe and to have faith in God. Sometimes we hear folks saying, well, I believe in God, but I have no power to really believe in God. We need power to pray even when we don't know what to say, because the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf on the throne room. When the Holy Spirit is present, worship is exciting. God will use us in spite of our talents, our gifts, and abilities. Lives will be changed. Hearts will be touched when the Holy Spirit is present and power is working through us. So, brother preacher, how do I get this Holy Ghost that flows like a river, that gives power and grace, that gives light and fire? Well, first of all, you have to be saved. You can't have God's power until you accept God's Son. And if you don't know God's Son, you can't have God's power. Some people say, well, it's not the only way to get God's power, but my Bible tells me that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. So you got to believe in God's Son if you want to have God's power. And then when you are saved, you have to be willing to obey what he says. He may say, go here, you got to go. He may say, stop this, you got to stop. He may say, go there, you got to move in that direction. He may say, come, you got to come. You've got to have your ears tuned and be sensitive to the voice of God. Then you must ask for it in Jesus' name. Even though he's available and his power is available, we are encouraged to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added on to us. We ought to seek the giver of the gift, not just the gift. Seek the giver of the gift. Seek the Holy Spirit. Seek Lord Jesus, and he will give us what we deserve. And so Jesus will provide our every need for us on this resurrection morning. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I came to praise him because he told his disciples there is a peace to be enjoyed. I came to praise him because he showed his disciples there's a proof for them to believe. I came to praise him because there is a plan for you and I to obey. I came to praise him because there is power, wonder-working power to be received. When we look at our world today, the crucified world focuses on defeat. But those who celebrate the resurrected life, we celebrate victory. The crucified world focuses on falling down, but the resurrected life celebrates being lifted up. The crucified world focuses on darkness, but the resurrected life celebrates light. The resurrected testify of the power on the cross, on the blood of Jesus, Elva. The resurrected life testifies of the power of the living God. Is he living within you this morning? Only a living God in the person of Jesus Christ can take our valleys and turn them into mountaintops. You don't know what I'm talking about. Only a living God in the person of Jesus Christ can take our midnights and turn them into noondays. Only a living God in the person of Jesus Christ can take our tears and turn them into mighty cheers. Only a person living in the presence of a mighty God through Jesus Christ can take our defeats and turn them into victories. Only a living God in the person of Jesus Christ can take our losses and make them work for us again and again. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Even though we live in a crucified world, Sunday morning reminds us that we serve a living God. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, those who believe on him have an opportunity for new life today, and not only for today, but for the world to come. Because there is a resurrection morning, we have the assurance that the God we serve is not just another relic of religion and history, but we are serving the living presence, the living Savior every day of our lives. It is no wonder the songwriter took out his pen and began to pen these words and says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, life is worth living because I know he lives. Today we celebrate the victory of life over death. Today we celebrate because we know that the God we serve is still alive and well. I serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. I know that he is living no matter what men may say. I see his hand of mercy morning by morning. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time that I need him, the songwriter said he's always there. He lives. He lives. Christ lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how, preacher, do you know he lives? Well, I want to tell you he lives within my heart. I've got enough experience. I've got enough situations of the past where God opened up doors for me, where God has made a way out of knowing, where God has healed my body when I've been sick, when God has provided when I was in need, and he still answers my prayers today. I want to encourage you, my friends, to serve this risen Savior, to celebrate his name. Celebrate it in the morning, celebrate it at noonday, celebrate it at night. Call on him when you don't want to. When nobody else wants to shout, you shout. When nobody else wants to dance, you dance. When nobody else wants to praise, you praise. But you serve your God the way he wants you to serve him. You honor him with everything that you have within you, because there is a peace to be enjoyed. There is proof to believe. There's a plan to obey. And there's a power to receive. We need God's power to do God's work. Let's receive his power this morning. Let's open up ourselves to all that he has for us so that we can operate in power and operate in victory and operate in anointing, because that is what God wants for us this Sunday morning. He didn't raise just so we can be happy because of that. There's work to be done. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord because he is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of all of my praises. He is worthy to be exalted. He is worthy to be glorified. And somebody ought to shout his name. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Just in these three little verses, he said to his disciples, peace. I release that peace to you this morning, that wherever you are in your life, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind into all truth. I pray that as you look back over your life, you will see evidence, proof that Jesus is alive. Carmen, there's some people say that he is not real. But for 2,000 years, they've been trying to erase his name. And they can't erase his name. They've been trying to get rid of the word. They can't get rid of his word. And even if they did get rid of his name, and even if they did get rid of his word, what do you do with the transformation of my heart? You can't take that away. You can't take that away. There's a plan to obey, my friends. God wants us to be about his business. Find somebody this week and tell them about the resurrected Lord. There's all kinds of people, all kinds of people that need to hear the Lord. I was working this week on Good Friday. We were in a house and spraying foam, and I got talking with a guy that I was working with. And so we got back into the truck. And because I'm a pastor, I'm always sometimes hesitant to bring up religion because they know I'm a pastor. So what people tend to do is say, you know, he's a preacher, so let me brace myself because he's going to start preaching at me. So I do a little reverse psychology. I shut up. I don't say nothing. And I sit back, and then they bring up the conversation. Talking to this guy on Friday. And I didn't want to. I'm tired. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I want to go home, get some sleep, get some food. And got to finish my sermon. And so he starts talking in the truck about how he went to Christian school. So when I heard Christian school, so I said, if you went to Christian school, you must be a believer. Oh, yeah, but my life fell apart. And I said, well, I don't really want to start talking to you about the things of God because I don't want you to think that, hey, I'm trying to preach at you. And he said, no, Pastor Sion, just preach at me. All you want, just preach at me. Just preach at me. I said, man, I'm just trying to get home. But if we are really open to seeing lost people or people who once strayed from the Lord, and the opportunities are going to be there. You don't even have to go looking for them. They're right there. So he's my project for the next week. So by next Sunday, I'm hoping to get him reconciled with his Savior and walking in the Lord, get him connected in a local church. And the sad thing that concerns me about his and other situations is so many people grew up in the church. But then something happened. And for this individual, he said to me, you know, when my parents split up, everything fell apart. I want to encourage you today. Keep your family together. The consequences and the effects that it have on our children is heartbreaking. Do your best. If you're married and you're having difficulties, try and work it out. Go get counseling. Find the help that you need. Now, don't be touching your partner going like this. I'm talking. You go get counseling. 1st thing folks want to do, did you hear what the pastor said? You know, if you're doing that, then you're the one that needs to go get counseling. But keep your family together. It really messes up people's lives when families split apart. So I want to encourage you with that. There are people out there today, my friends, that need to hear the good news of Jesus. You are Jesus' hands, and you are Jesus' feet. You are his mouthpiece. He's not going to drop out of heaven. You and I are the ones that are responsible for doing it. So if his kingdom is not growing, it's our responsibility. Then there's a power to be received. There's a power. I like the fact that clock doesn't work, so that's good. There's a power to be received. Let me encourage you with this. The best place to connect with the Holy Spirit is in your prayer closet. Let me challenge you with this. If you don't have a regular daily devotional time, you're missing out. You're missing out. So go before God and pour out your heart before him and ask him, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your spirit. I leak, so you got to keep filling me all the time. Fill me. I might be full on Monday, but Friday I'm half empty. Fill me. And just appeal to God for the power of his Holy Spirit. We have too many believers walking around today saying they're believers, but are not operating under the Spirit of God. This is not healthy. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do God's work without God's power. We can't sing his songs, preach his word, build his church, do none of it without his power. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. So seek the Lord on this resurrection morning. Pat, you're here, so why don't you come to the piano for me? On this resurrection morning, I am aware that there may be some of you today who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you have accepted him as a child, maybe been baptized as an infant, but you don't really know the Lord the way you should know the Lord. Would you, if that is you this morning, would you give Jesus an opportunity to do a work in your life today? Would you allow him to be your Savior? Would you allow him to be your Lord? Would you allow him to transform you in a way that you've never been transformed before? But maybe you know the Lord. But maybe you're not walking with him the way you should walk with him. Could we pray with you so that you can maintain your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ in a healthy way? The altars are open. Fred, I don't know if you've got folks scheduled today that we can pray for and pray with. When you live for Jesus, my friend, there is a peace to be enjoyed, there's proof to believe, plan to obey, and there's power to receive. Would you give the Lord an opportunity to work his power in your life this morning, afternoon? Would you give him an opportunity? If you have to leave, would you be sensitive to what's taking place in the service? Thank you, Jesus. If you got a need of any kind that we can cover you with, give us an opportunity to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your faith. Come on, ladies. Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't know what you're wrestling with this morning. Maybe it's fear was what the disciples wrestled with. But maybe for you it's something else. Well, whatever it is that you're wrestling with, would you give the Lord an opportunity to saturate your life with his presence so that whatever scares you, whatever worries you, whatever concerns you is removed from your life? Hallelujah, Jesus. Fred will pray for you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pray for you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You can stand up so we see you. Yeah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise your name. Yeah. Would you give God an opportunity this morning to do something different? Would you trust him with your life, with your finances, your relationships? Thank you, Jesus. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want. Would you give the Lord an opportunity this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah.